WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a dangerous Category 3 Hurricane Idalia as it steams its way toward Florida's Big Bend, where it's expected to unleash life-threatening storm surge, destructive winds, and rainfall when it makes landfall later this morning. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The worst winds likely to be now a Category 4 as this storm makes its way north with 130-mile-an-hour winds at landfall, then a Category 1 at the South Carolina-Georgia border by the afternoon. By tomorrow morning, it is offshore of North Carolina.
Idalia is arriving during a supermoon and a king tide, which could add to the storm surge. People who live along Florida's west coast were ordered to pack up and leave and told emergency crews wouldn't be able to reach them if they decided to stay. Correspondent Christian Benavides is in Crystal River.
Strong winds, torrential rain, and rough waves slammed Key West.
It's pretty scary. It's kind of crazy.
Heavy flooding in Fort Myers. Parts of southern Florida are already feeling the effects of Hurricane Idalia before it makes landfall today.
A state of emergency has been declared and evacuation orders issued for dozens of Florida counties, with deadly storm surges expected to reach as high as 15 feet in some areas.
Emergency managers are bracing for large-scale power outages. Almost 50,000 customers in Florida are already without. The EPA is now going through the ruins of wildfire-ravaged Maui before they clear away the debris. CBS Honolulu's Chelsea Davis is there.
Once that area is deemed safe, they will be allowing access to residents and business owners. The United States Army Corps of Engineers has been selected by the state and Maui County to lead the efforts to remove the fire-damaged debris left behind by the historic fires.
The Justice Department has busted up a hacking scheme that booby-trapped emails with mallinks. Correspondent Jeff Pegues.
The FBI called it Operation Duck Hunt, a worldwide investigation to take down the notorious Quackbot hacking network. Cyber experts say that it is malware originating in Russia, which has infected more than 700,000 computers worldwide.
One hospital chain that was hacked was forced to shut down some of its services. The man convicted of orchestrating the January 6th attack is scheduled to be sentenced today. CBS's Chanel Call has the details.
Prosecutors are seeking 33 years in prison for Enrique Tarrio. It would be the largest sentence yet related to the attack on the Capitol.
S&P futures down 6, Dow futures off 5. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's Macy's getting back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy.
Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the spectacular Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Tuesday, August 29th, 2023. Tuesday means one thing at 2 o'clock, and that is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers. Luke, sir, how are you?
I can't barge in here anymore saying this is my old studio time because we're in a new studio. We're down on State Street. We're having a great time. Glad to be with you, Todd.
Always great to be with you live and in person.
Yeah.
And you snuck in a little bit yesterday while we were up in RC. We saw those of you watching the stream saw Luke just kind of go by with a smile on his face.
I had to sneak into the back closet, and then I was like, am I on the camera? Oh, I'm on camera right now. So I had to wave.
Of course. You, by the way, you seem in a very good mood this week.
I'm post-marriage.
Zommers thinks it's because it's just like a relief to get through the service.
Oh, it was 100% a planning hangover that took place last week. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It's so much that goes into it. It is, and I was only responsible for like a tenth of the planning, but Kelsey and I, you know, a little bit, her more so, understandably, having this planning hangover the last couple of days.
Let's call it a planover.
Planover.
I like that.
And so we've been kind of taking it easy, but yeah, on cloud nine, having a lot of fun here, and we're now 10 days married.
A married man.
Getting married is only one of the most stressful things that people regularly endure. Like I can't remember where this list was from, but it was some list that my sister found of like the most stressful events that everyone goes through, including stuff like moving, death of a family member or a parent or whatever, or a loved one.
That's a really casual whatever thrown into one of those serious life events, Aaron.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. But getting married was also in the list.
Yeah.
But all stressful. See, that's why I'm like Ralph the dog from the Muppet movie. I come home, have a beer, take myself for a walk, and go to bed.
There you go. Nice and easy. That's an option, too. But yeah, it was a lot of planning, so a little bit of a plan over that we're having. But, you know, it's been a good time, and we're having a lot of fun here on this is my Contribution Tuesday. I was sharing my thoughts with Mr. Zommers and Mr. Kreitlow on Up North News this morning.
Oh, that's right. Today was Up North News Day.
No, I was just at it. They were talking supper clubs, and I wanted that nobody talk. What's your favorite meal at a supper club, Todd?
Not even close. All-time favorite, filet mignon with shrimp, surf and turf with a brandy old fashioned, and hash browns with cheese and onions.
Okay, and that's a great order. I like Ishnala, and I undeserving plug, I guess. They're not a sponsor or anything.
But they're a fine place.
Excellent Ishnala. They have a roast duck that is just amazing.
Roast duck.
I shared the roast duck that is very good, and because it wasn't mentioned, and Pat was like, "What roast duck?" Like, and he thought it was kind of out of left field. But I think it's a little bit more traditional supper club than maybe not. But maybe I'm in the wrong.
But did you go to a lot of supper clubs growing up in Southeast Wisconsin? As a kid?
Yes and no.
Did you order a duck?
No. It was always fish fries. Yeah. Supper clubs are always fish fries more than anything. So surf and turf, that's a fancy supper club. My parents weren't taking me out for surf and turf when I was
a
kid.
But we rarely went to, like, I guess there's kind of two levels, right? I mean, we would go, like, for a birthday or an anniversary. There used to be a place in Muscatine in southwest Wisconsin called Blackhawk. There is still the Westby Supper Club between Richland Center and La Crosse, still a great place. And you might have, you know, either the fish fry and the buffet or the salad buffet. But occasionally for the big events, you know, a 6 ounce or 8 ounce fillet with like three shrimp.
Yeah. See,
that usually is less expensive than duck.
We were a family of six. We weren't doing, we weren't doing surf and turf for big events.
We didn't go, or the kind of the other level of a sub, like when there used to be a place in Hub City in southwest Wisconsin, the unincorporated place, Broasted Chicken, which was also served at a supper club.
Yeah. And that was one of the ones mentioned by Pat, was the either the surf and turf, a steak, or a roasted chicken. And I was like, well, roasted duck. And
broasted. Broasted is different because they put it like in a pressure cooker. They put it like in a sauna.
Oh, interesting.
It's juicier.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah. Well, the duck wasn't mentioned, so I wanted to share my 2 cents on Up North News this morning. So I was commenting on their StreamYard feed on the social media, and then Pat decided to air out all my comments because I was contributing on the show. So,
well, it's fantastic.
Yeah, duck is a newer...
I feel like it's more of a northern Wisconsin thing. Well, because we didn't have a lot of... I mean, we have duck hunters in southwest Wisconsin, but I mean, I don't feel like places that I went to, duck was on the menu.
Well, it's an acquired taste as well. It's not necessarily for everyone. My mom does so not like... But,
you know, a lot of people don't like to listen to Todd. It's an acquired taste to listen to him. I get that.
Yeah, not everybody likes the dark meat, so I know that duck's not necessarily... like the preference for everybody. I just I wanted to give it an honorable mention. That's why contributed an Up North News this morning. Yeah,
fantastic. And now you're here. You're a man about town.
Yes. You're across the Civic Media show today.
You're a wanted man, Luke Mathers. We're going to come back and talk about the Milwaukee Brewers. They are on a win streak. Luke will not talk a lot about it because he doesn't want to jinx it.
There's a number that the Brewers may or may not be approaching. I'm not going to discuss it. If you're a Milwaukee area Brewers fan, you know what a magical number could mean at a local restaurant. So it's just something to keep an eye on, but not talk about because... we don't want to break the jinx. Like, no hitter in baseball. If you talk about it, it's not going to happen. So you just got to let the crew continue on the win streak that they're on and hope for the best.
Yeah, I'm on the second season now, Ted Lasso. You know, you don't want to say yips.
Exactly. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, it doesn't pertain to this.
Aaron, he just said it.
It doesn't pertain to this.
All right.
We're not part of the team, for God's sake.
He just said a forbidden word. I'm going to drop his call.
Hopefully I'll still be back here. Otherwise, it'll be the Luke Mathers Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 73. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 53. Sunny with a high near 79 on your Thursday. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Friday, sunny, breezy, and a high near 87. Winds gust to 30 miles per hour. It's 51 at our studios.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
On the CBS, or on the CBS, I'm used to say that the CBS radio network.
What are you talking about? You've been on the Civic Media Radio Network for approaching a year now.
I know, but we used to, my RCO, which now Civic Media owns, was a CBS radio affiliate. And so I used to occasionally say, you know, here we are on the CBS
radio network. Not the used to as in the recent couple months here on the Civic Media radio network.
You know, by now I live vicariously in the past.
Fair enough.
On the Civic Media Radio Network, great job at Mr. Zommer's dial. Was that Sesame Street or Sesame Street or Electric Company?
It was Sesame Street.
Yeah, very good.
Sesame Street or Sesame Street?
Oh, it was Sesame Street.
All right. Luke Mathers, it is Tuesday Tangents with Luke, our executive producer of Civic Media, the co-host of Town Call with the fabulous Will Walter. By the way, a fine dresser, that Will Walter.
Yeah, he was looking sharp last week.
Last Wednesday in Milwaukee for the big decision. By the way, the title, Decision, Wisconsin Decides 2024, right here, a marketing guru, Luke Mathers.
No, marketing guru. There was you and Rebecca and a couple of us throwing it around. Yeah, there's a handful of us here. Excellent teamwork decided on Wisconsin Decides 2024.
Thank you for all your help. Appreciate it. It was a good broadcast and hope to do more of those in the future.
Hats off to you. Tremendous.
And Kristen Bry.
Yes, everybody involved, and you and Kristen specifically, though. The tremendous work Civic Media putting together that coverage last Wednesday, live from the Deer District for that first RNC debate.
It was fun. Lincoln Project folks were happy with it. They're already asking if we'd be interested in going to Iowa.
So, there you go. You're loading up the pickup truck and heading down to Iowa, huh?
Taking the tent down for the Iowa caucuses. I won't tell it right now. I actually committed voter fraud years ago. I voted in the Iowa caucus. That's Wisconsin.
Careful. Michael Gableman is going to be knocking on your door.
The statute of limitations well passed. I was just a young kid, and it was a big Republican thing, and they loaded up a coach bus. They took us down to Dubuque in a high school. And I cast a vote in the Iowa caucus. That's how loosey-goosey it was.
Are you saying the Republicans took a busload of fake voters?
Yeah, 100%. I'm not joking.
What?
I'm not joking. That's true. Yeah, went down to the Iowa caucus. It would have been, all right. My God.
We've got to dial up Michael Gableman. Get him on this one.
Josh Call can't prosecute fake electors in Wisconsin, but he'll be all over me for going to Iowa 20 years ago.
Okay, 20 years.
I mean,
this was Bush?
It was even early. I think it would have been 1996. For Bob Dole, I think.
Bob Dole.
Yeah, all but right. it was in the primary, so I can't remember if I voted for Dole or not that year. I think I did. I'll look it up.
I'm fascinated by this, and I cannot wait to hear more about the background later off the air about this.
That's 100% true. There must have been, I don't know, how much those coach buses hold? 75?
70? Yeah, 75?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Went down to Iowa. Also voted, this is not an official vote, but I also voted in the Iowa straw poll they have in the summer.
I think anybody can do that.
That year, I voted for Alexander...
Hamilton? You're not that old. No.
Yes, I voted for Alexander Hamilton in the Continental Congress. That's how old I am. Me and Matt Flynn, we were there, saw a lot of stuff. And I mean, why do you think that Matt Flynn has such great... We've lived it, baby. We were there.
I'm sorry. It was hanging there, and I was like, Loafer. He's not gonna give a last name. I'm gonna give one real quick.
Lamar Alexander. That's what I was trying from Tennessee.
Okay.
His theme was fresh, new, conservative ideas. That's what he said. So I voted for Lamar Alexander in the Iowa straw poll, and then I think it was Dole actually voted for the Iowa caucuses.
There you go.
So that's how secure voting was back then in the Republican side. Anyway,
Interesting.
Here on talk about tangents. Holy smokes.
I apologize. No, it was good. In my presence, they tend to come up. Yeah.
Right? That's what it's all about. But the tangent I want to go down right now, Lukester, is the Milwaukee Brewers. Mm-hmm. And how about that Sal Frelick? Not a bad-looking dude either, but a fine player as well. And all these rookies, right? It's been I have become, probably partly because I'm associated with Civic now. And by the way, you can listen to the Brewers on the Civic Media Radio Network mm-hmm. on WRCE in southwest Wisconsin, AM 1450 and FM 107.7. And over on the big 1100 on the AM side, WISS Oshkosh Air Support. And on the FM side, 98.3. But these guys have been so exciting to watch this year.
Yeah, even before the winning streak that they're currently on, it's been a very exciting season. There was little ups, there's little downs, there's a lot of talking about how young the team is mm-hmm. and how possibly they could be playing better. Some people thought they weren't playing up to their full potential. We had some injuries in the pitching rotation. Baseball is a long season. There's a lot to it. Currently sitting 5 games ahead of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. So it's a very exciting time. September, around the corner, next home game is going to be September 1st, this upcoming Friday. And so we're going to be in the final stretch now of this very exciting season. And the Brewers, playing like they did last night, are putting themselves in a very good position to be playing deep into October.
And only because Luke Mathers is such a great guy, he is our ticket master here at Civic for all things. He has brought his beautiful leather satchel. He puts mink oil on it. He keeps it in fine. He has opened it up.
No, shortage of mink supply. 3,000 of them got lost in western Wisconsin last week, or was that 2 weeks ago?
3,000 mink on the loose.
Yeah, so it's a sore subject right now. Don't bring up the mink oil. We're running low.
Could be a lot of mink oil after that scenario. But anyway, he has opened his satchel. He has got these tickets that have been sealed in mayonnaise jars. They've been under Funkenwagel's porch, and they've been there since noon, so about an hour and 22 minutes.
Folks, they're digital. They're really clean. They do not smell like mayonnaise, I promise.
He is giving us four of them.
He cleaned them off really well.
Four of them. Four tickets for this Friday. These are club-level seats. They're beautiful seats. Zomers and Luke and I have all been there. They're padded. You can see right into the Brewers' dugout. You have a beautiful view of the field. Your bathroom is a concession right almost outside the door from where you're sitting.
Yeah.
It's a special treatment, and you can be there courtesy of Civic Media this Friday at 7:10 when the first-place Brewers, even if they're still going to keep winning, but they're going to be in first place no matter what. You can be there if you can answer this. Last night, the Brewers got a home run. Their first
3 pitches into the game.
Who hit the first home run yesterday for the Milwaukee Brewers? Give us a call. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. First person that can tell us who hit the first home run in last night's game against the Cubbies gets 4 tickets for this Friday, courtesy of Civic Media. 844-967-2789. Great game last night.
Oh, excellent game. Nationally televised tonight, I believe. TBS, one of our excellent members of the sales team letting me know. He's a Cubbies fan, though. So he was cheering for a different outcome yesterday. He was like, yeah, it's nationally televised because he has MLB ticket. But it was on blackout because locally, since it was a Brewers game, they weren't showing it.
So. Very interesting. Who hit the first home run last night for the Brewers? If you're right, you're going to the game this Friday with 3 of your favorite friends. Let's go to Rick down in Racine on WRJN. Rick, who hit the first home run last night for the Brewers?
That would be Christian Yelich.
Absolutely correct. Congratulations. Are you listening to us on the news station down there, WRJN, or on the app?
No, on WRJN.
Fantastic. We appreciate it. Great to be down in southeast Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rick, do you have any plans on who you're going to take, or got to sort it all out yet?
Well, actually, a lot of people will think this is strange, but because of the group I become associated with, we learned to pay it forward. So I'm actually going to put it on you guys to take the next caller.
Wow.
Whoever calls in next.
All right. Whoever calls
in.
All right. That is very generous of you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. That's very nice of you. So Rick is paying it forward. He has answered the question for you. So now the first caller is going to get the tickets. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. The first caller gets the tickets. This is like when you, at Starbucks or wherever, when somebody
pays
it
forward, and you buy the next person behind you is Starbucks order, but a little different. Club level seats to the Milwaukee Brewers game on Friday night.
This is fantastic. We have a caller, I believe Mr. Zomer. It's the first caller gets these tickets now. Paying it forward, Rick and Racine. Well, we have the best people out there, right? Listen to us.
Yeah, that is excellent. Thank you.
What a nice guy.
Rick.
We're going to go to Larry is on the road. Larry, are you able to go to the game in Milwaukee this Friday night at 7:10?
Yes, I believe we will be.
Well, that's fantastic, Larry. You win the tickets courtesy of Rick and Racine.
I am absolutely stunned that I got through. I was going to call the first time and didn't get it. And the gentleman was kind enough to pay it forward. And I think it's wonderful.
It's absolutely.
I'm listening on the AM station out of Columbus.
There we go. 1580 AM here on WMDX.
That's fantastic. Larry, stay on the phone. Mr. Zomers will take all your information. We'll email those to you. Make sure you download the Major League Baseball app as well, and you'll be set to go on Friday.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Larry. And I think you're going to have to pay it one forward, so you might have to buy a round or something like that at American Family Field. So just thank Rick by also sending it forward.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you, Larry. Really appreciate it. What a great, that's fantastic, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's just an exciting season, and it's some of the best listeners right there. That is fantastic.
Absolutely. Hopefully the Brewers can keep that going and hit that magic number, and people will be fed and happy.
Close.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Let's get your impressions quick, Luke. Also this Saturday, also big on the Brewers radio, on the Civic Media Radio Network, the Wisconsin Badgers football, Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory. Mm-hmm. We will be all those stations in Civic Media carrying the first big Badger football game Saturday. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm excited for this Coach Fickell offense. Like the entire team, but there was a lot of questions last season with the Badgers, with Paul Chryst's exit and the interim coach of Jim Leonard. There were a lot of questions, and I think for the first time we're going to get to see what all of the changes since this time last year that have taken effect are going to look like on the field. And as a Badger, I can tell you I am so excited.
Like, a UW grad.
Yes. And so I cheer for him every single season. Like, I've never cheered for him before. And this season, it feels like it's going to be the most exciting season in a really long time. Like, this feels, when I was on campus, it was the Fall Belongs to Ball campaign with Monty Ball's picture across all the buses. And he broke the touchdown record for the NCAA. And this feels more exciting than that.
Really?
And I didn't think that was possible.
I agree. So I think it's super exciting. It reminds me, I was around as an old man when Barry Alvarez first came to Wisconsin, and there's that level of excitement. It really is. It's great.
It's a palpable time right now.
By the way, we were going to try to be on location at Camp Randall. I called today, got through. I was beat out by a different show. Mike Heller's show beat us out.
Dang.
I know. But if you had to lose to a guy, Mike Heller's a decent guy to lose to. So congratulations, Heller. We'll be somewhere there on Friday for a special 3-hour show. Thank you, Luke. You're spectacular. Don't go anywhere. The Tom Ball Show is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. People along Florida's west coast are bracing for a dangerous Category 4 Hurricane Idalia to come ashore. That today, 130-mile-an-hour winds are expected to stir up life-threatening storm surge. Andy Blair's chosen to ignore evacuation orders.
Being the caretaker of the oldest building in Cedar Key, I just feel kind of like I need to be here.
The Biden administration's just announced $95 million to improve Hawaii's electric grid as crews wrap up their search for wildfire victims on Maui. Police Chief John Pelletier.
It's been 3 weeks. We have 110 missing persons MPD reports. That means people took the time to actually do a police report.
FBI's busted up QuackBot, a notorious hacking network out of Russia. Frank Marcel is an ER nurse in Connecticut.
Took a lot longer for orders to get through. It took a lot longer for nurses to find out what the doctors wanted. It took a lot longer for the sending and receiving of labs and the results.
CBS News Brief, Deborah Rodriguez.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Yeah, pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. How about that, Mr. Zommers? Luke Mathers, what a great guy.
Always, gotta love him. Gotta love him.
Hard-working guy. Makes you laugh. Makes you think.
It's good to see him in such good spirits. Right. Now that the wedding's done.
Right.
Such a huge stressor off his back.
Exactly. Chilling out. If you want to just hang out. And I've done it, by the way. Just sit out. A person you want to just like have a beer with. Luke Mathers is the dude.
By the way, Jeff Perry has sent a message on Facebook.
Yes. Let's see. Well, thank you. Inspired by Rick from Racine, I am paying it forward by paying your $134 Spectrum bill. Somehow I feel that's a joke, but I appreciate that.
We've got it in writing.
That's fantastic. Wouldn't that be great though? Yeah. I gotta pay that bill. I get it. But we'll see. Technician number five. I feel like, you know, in honor of Bob Barker's passing, I feel like I should decorate my apartment tonight. Kind of like what Kramer did on the old Seinfeld show with the Merv Griffin set. I feel like if I could have like the old or an earlier version of the Price is Right set and say, you know, as he opens the door, technician number 5, come on down. You're the next contestant on Spectrum Technicians at Todd's.
And will we get it with, will we get it in 5 without going over 10 technicians?
I feel like that's been my experience for the last 2 months. I'm an endless loser when it comes to getting the right Spectrum person to fix this. But maybe tonight, let's be hopeful. Maybe
we'll find out.
Maybe tonight. Appreciate all the calls, all the people calling in today. Here's the next thing I want to talk about. Our last half hour, leading up, by the way, to the 3 o'clock hour, our great friend and host, Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct. Matt has talked about this issue. Our friends at the Lincoln Project, particularly Trygve Olsen, who, by the way, is going to be on Thursday this week and not tomorrow, has some things going on. So we're moving the Trygve segment to Thursday this week. But I want to talk about this no labels stuff going on. How do you feel about no labels? This no labels party running a candidate or a ticket in the 2024 presidential election. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Our friends at the Lincoln Project have put together this great primer called Myth versus Fact, the truth about no labels. This is fantastic. I want to go through some of this today, and maybe we'll finish up with Trygve on Thursday. From the Lincoln Project, No Labels, as they call it, is a secretive Washington, D.C.-based dark money-funded organization attempting to put a third-party candidate on the presidential ballot in 2024. Despite their best efforts to obscure their real intentions, their actions will only support Donald Trump's re-election next year. In this document, and those to come, the Lincoln Project will expose no labels falsehoods and provide truth in their place. Remember, Lincoln Project is predominantly made up, not all, but predominantly made up of folks like me who are former Republicans, although they were much more successful in politics than I was. These are people that worked for former presidents like George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, candidates like Mitt Romney and John McCain. People were part of the mainstream. And then with Trump in 2016, they were like, this is just a bridge too far. This is a guy who goes against the norms and is going to ruin democracy. And so they left. I left prior to that in 2011 over voter rights issues. But these are former Republicans predominantly who understand and know things at the highest level. Because here's the secret. Not really a secret, but even down in Milwaukee last week, Rick Wilson, the co-founder, and Trygve Olsen, the senior advisor at Lincoln Project, and they weren't telling me and Kristen Bry who they were talking to. They kept confidences, but, well, a couple of the names they did, but I'm not going to repeat them. They're like, the funny thing is, these guys and gals that are still in the Republican Party who are still working for current presidential candidates, they're still texting one another privately and calling one another and giving them inside information. Because they know that Trump and Trumpism is not what's good for America. So I want to give you that context. This is who put this together. All right? Here's myth number one. The myth: a no-labels, quote-unquote, unity ticket has a viable path to 286 electoral votes. Remember, in the United States, we do not elect a president through popular vote, but we vote, and then each state has a set number of electoral college votes, and you have to get to, you know, 285 to win the presidency. So this myth out there is, note that the no labels unity ticket has a viable path to 286 electoral votes. Here are the facts. There is zero chance a third-party ticket can win the presidency. It's never happened before in American history. They have no chance to score 33% of the Electoral College, never mind 50%. In order to pull off what they claim as their plan, quote unquote, no labels would need to achieve the impossible. Win all battleground states and a number of strong Biden states, including this home state of Delaware. Most states, no labels can hope to win, only to be attainable by fracturing Biden's vote share in the state. Among Democrats, Joe Biden maintains a 77% approval rating, which makes winning Democratic states highly implausible. Lincoln Project goes on and says this about the facts. The election polling site, 538, says, quote, "The electorate is composed of many moderates and a smaller group of independents who don't lean toward either party. But the share of the electorate where these traits overlap is actually small. Only about 5% of voters were both independent and moderate," unquote. The translation? There simply aren't enough truly independent voters who will vote for no labels so they can win. A no labels victory would be the unlikeliest victory in American history. It could only happen by sparking a political revolution never before seen. Did Joe Manchin or Larry Hogan seem like the inspirational figures capable of pulling this off? And remember this, No Labels knows this, which is why chief strategist Ryan Clancy has spoken about the No Labels plan to utilize, quote, faithless electors, unquote, and undermine the 2024 presidential election within the Electoral College system by bargaining any electoral votes they may receive. What does that mean? So it means that, let's say that No Labels gets a few electoral votes. For the sake of argument, let's say they focus on Wisconsin and that Joe Manchin and Joe Lieberman is the unity No Labels ticket. Let's say they invest millions of dollars here and somehow they win Wisconsin's electoral votes. And therefore, nobody reaches the magic number of electoral votes needed to get a winner. So then No Labels negotiates and says, well, who's going to do the most for us to get our votes, our electoral votes in the Electoral College? And the person that they're going to negotiate with is Trump and the Republicans. So that's myth number one, is that the No Labels unity ticket has a viable path to 286 electoral votes. They simply do not. What say you? What do you think of this No Labels party? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Luke talked about earlier, you know, I'm no spring chicken, 53. I'm happy at my age. Don't get me wrong. But like Matt Flynn, I've seen some stuff. I was around the first election that I really was volunteering in 1980. John Anderson was an independent, got a lot of coverage, didn't do well at all in the Electoral College. Ronald Reagan went on to a sweeping victory. 1992, so far the most successful independent candidate for president in American history, Ross H. Perot, had endless media coverage on Larry King Live back when that was the only game in town. All right. And what Ross Perot did, even though he got a lot of coverage, he truly had a group of people that thought it was going to be a revolution. You know what Ross Perot did? For better or worse, he handed the presidency to William Jefferson Clinton. George H.W. Bush would have won re-election handily in 1992 had it not been for Ross H. Perot, and William Jefferson Clinton was elected with less than 50% of the vote. There is no way that no labels in 2024 has anywhere close to the energy of Ross Perot in 92. Therefore, they cannot win the presidency. All they can do is cause havoc. And it's not going to take much havoc to put Donald Trump back in the White House. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Richland Center. We were just there yesterday. Tom in Richland Center, appreciate you listening, my friend. What say you?
Yeah, listen, Jim Hightower used to say the only thing in the center of the road is a yellow line and a dead armadillo, but he was from Texas, so I guess around here it'd be dead deer.
Right, dead deer, that's good.
The problem with third parties is we don't have a kind of voting system that lets a third party thrive. If you want to talk about third party, we've also got the Green parties and the Libertarians and these other people, but the two corporate parties want to keep it so that they're the only ones to get any love. Mm-hmm. And then the third party there, this the new one, it's just a copy of the first two. So to have Manchin, he's got nothing to offer for anybody. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice boat in the Bay. Is it Chesapeake Bay or one of them over there? And he's a rich guy. So they got nothing for regular people. And they're just trying to be spoilers.
I agree. But do you agree with this assessment from the Lincoln Project that no labels has no chance of winning the Electoral College?
No chance of winning, but then doing a lot of trouble.
Right.
The instant runoff voting is a chance we got. There's places that are doing this. Even Alaska had some stuff. I think out east are doing it. There's all kinds of possibilities to make this voting system more fair. But just having a third party that's very corporate-based, it's billionaires behind it. Don't think it's a working-class thing. So
100%.
Anyway, you have a good day, Todd.
Appreciate you, Tom. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. If you'd like to be like Tom, Give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. The No Labels Party. What do you think of it? On the text line, feel free to text us as well via the Civic Media app. You can download it on your iPhone or Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute to download. It is free. It is what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. On the Civic Media text line from WAUK, Steve from Milwaukee says, quote, no labels is just a sabotage pack looking to steal Biden votes, unquote. Could not agree more. Could not agree more. It is an attempt, and Tom from Richland Center is exactly right. If you follow the money, which is always a great thing to do in politics, follow the money. Who is predominantly funding No Labels? They are rich Republican donors who want to see Donald Trump elected. More myths, more facts from No Labels. After this, don't go anywhere. We see you on the lines. As our friend Matt Flynn says, don't go anywhere. Your calls after this. This is the Todd Allbowles Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898, but 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 73. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 53. Sunny with a high near 79 on your Thursday. For Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Friday, sunny, breezy, and a high near 87. Winds gust to 30 miles per hour. Currently, 50 degrees.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 3 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from national news and weather. And 10 minutes away from our friend Matt Flynn and his great program, Matt Flynn Direct, taking all callers, listening, and then giving you the facts as only an attorney with prosecutorial experience can tell you. Also, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. As we say, we've seen some stuff. Matt Flynn certainly has. He'll take your calls and have the latest on history in the making. Matt Flynn Direct coming up after the news at the top of the hour. Do not miss it. Right now, No Labels Party. Getting a lot of airtime, a lot of press. Trying to create this sense of, oh, you know, there's so many people that don't like either Trump or Biden, neither Republican or Democrat. If we only had a third alternative, No Labels is it. Don't be fooled. No Labels has one goal in mind, and that is to help the re-election of Donald J. Trump. Let's go to the phones, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Jerry in Madison. Jerry, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hi, Todd. I'm completely opposed to No Labels. I agree with the previous callers in terms of its backing. But the biggest reason is it would give the election to Trump, which would be a disaster. And we had third parties with Nader and with Jill Stein in previous years. There's nothing wrong with the idea of a third party, but this particular year with Trump and all of his problems and all of his corruption would be a terrible idea to have No Labels on the ballot, and I very, very much oppose them and support the comments in the previous callers.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. Thank you so much. I could not agree more. And you bring up an interesting point from 2016. All these Democrats, these progressives that said, well, I'm not voting for Hillary because she's gone too mainstream and I want to send her a message. Well, they did. 23,000 of them voted for Jill Stein in Wisconsin in 2016. Donald Trump won Wisconsin by roughly 23,000 votes, the same number. If you add up the number of people in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania of which Trump won by and won the presidency, you could fit all those people in Camp Randall Stadium this Saturday, less than 80,000. So, yes, third parties can make a huge difference. Jerry, that was a great call. Really appreciate your perspective. Jerry in Madison, thank you very much. Let's also keep it in Madison. Dick in Madison. Dick, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, I said it to you yesterday or the day before, and I know we can't do anything about it in 24. But it's another reason to get rid of this nonsense of an electoral college, and we wouldn't have to have the discussion at all. One person, one vote. That's a true democracy. And what's funny and ironic about all this, when I mentioned that the other day, I don't know if I mentioned the fact, you know what what Donald Trump said about that?
Tell me.
He was totally against the Electoral College in 2012, called it a sham right. And a travesty. Now, isn't that strange? The very thing that put him in office, suddenly, when he can just, just loop just the right things together and get in via the Electoral College, then it's a great thing.
Funny how he calls himself not a politician, but he sure acts like it.
Yeah, he sure does, because right. He changed on a dime about that.
Great call, Dick. Appreciate you. Agree. We need something better than the Electoral College. Agree about that. Of course, we both know it's not going to happen for 2024, but totally agree with you. Agreed. On the text line from Matt in Germantown, WAUK, says, will Trump run as an independent if he does not win the Republican nomination? Because if so, then I'm all in for a third party. That's an interesting question. Number one, I don't see any way that Donald Trump can't or won't be the nominee for the Republican Party in 2024. But that's part of the reason that the RNC, the Republican National Committee, is snuggling up to him. Because they're afraid that Trump could run as an independent if he doesn't get the nomination. So, time will tell. Let's go to Wisco Paul on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, what say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll make this quick today. I like parties that have platforms. Right now, the Republican Party doesn't have a platform.
Wisco, you still there?
Whatever reason.
Go ahead. You cut out. Go ahead.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. For whatever reason, the Republicans are standing behind Donald Trump, and I don't have a reason why they're doing that. But no third party this year, and I like parties, like I said before, that have platforms. So, yeah. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Wisco. Always appreciate Wisco Paul on the line. If you want to call in quickly, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. One more myth about the No Labels Party. This from the Lincoln Project. Myth: No Labels polling proves that a quote-unquote common sense majority of Americans will vote for their ticket. That's the myth. Here's the fact. Every single poll that asks voters about a generic third party has them losing, including their own. Quote, the group's polling from December 2022, which was shared Sunday with the Washington Post, found that the unnamed moderate independent candidate was supported by 20% of registered voters, compared with 28% for Biden, 33% for Trump. No Labels has refused to publicly release any polling information that supports their electoral viability or a path to 270-plus electoral votes.
That's so weird. Right? I wonder why.
Requests for crosstabs, polling methodology, margins of error, and state polling have been denied. Given the fact that No Labels CEO Nancy Jacobson hired her husband, Mark Penn, to conduct the group's polling, we should expect the results to be all narrative and no data. Penn's firm, Harris X, has made over $400,000 creating polls for No Labels, according to their 2021 tax filing. Those who have worked for Mark Penn have repeatedly called out his refusal to release any polling details and warned against trusting anything Harris X releases as accurate. This thing is a sham. Again, follow the money. See who's funding this. They are either current or former Republicans loyal to Trump. This is going to be a race between democracy and autocracy. And remember what the communications director for George W. Bush once said. She said an election comes down to a choice, and perfect ain't on the ballot. All right? Perfect ain't on the ballot, but democracy is, and that's Joe Biden. Great show, great callers. Appreciate you all. Thanks to Luke Mathers, Aaron Zomers. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Matt Flynn Direct next. Don't go anywhere. Until then, this is Todd Allball saying keep banging on your drum. Banging on your drum. And they will hear you.
The kids
kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.